Now, London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK, London's premier forum for news, views, and up-to-date information. Here's Andy Udman.
You got a headache. I've got some strange disease. Don't worry about it. This pill will set your mind at ease. It's called Progenitorivox. It's made by Squab Malco. It's a life-enhancing miracle. But there are some things you should know.
It may cause agitation, palpitations, excessive salivation, constipation, malactation, rust-colored urination, hallucinations, bad vibrations, mild electric shock sensations. But it's worth it for the drugs I need. My disease may not be fatal, but I can ease my fears by taking two $12 pills each day for 50 years.
There's no such thing as a safe drug. By the time a drug's approved and it hits the general population, we don't know even 50% of the side effects that are involved with that drug.
Now, how's this for a very scary number? In the last 10 years, the use of antipsychotic drugs on young children and teenagers has increased more than 500%. There's growing concern these drugs are being given in even greater doses to kids in foster care, putting them in a virtual chemical straitjacket.
As I started observing what was happening, what some of the drugs were doing, the misinformation, the disinformation, that I was being encouraged to minimize side effects when I talked to doctors, I started to recognize that these patients were literally being tortured by the drugs that they were given.
It is Thursday, the 26th day of May. My name is Andy Udman. The show is London Today. How many pills? How many pill bottles in your medicine cabinet? In mine, none. Zero. In my wife's, none. In fact, a doctor told my wife she's the only patient her doctor has who doesn't take drugs. Oh, my goodness. Prescription drugs. Can't live without them. We can't live with them. Pam Colleen is in this morning to rock the boat as she always does. Get set for a four-coupon ride. Pam, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Andy.
You've been away for a couple of weeks. I've been away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a break from each other. I hope you had a great break.
We did. Yeah. And you're ready to rock the boat again this morning.
Absolutely. A big subject in my life. I'm always warning people about the side effects of pharmaceutical drugs and how they're really taking over society. In my book, Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic, I have a wonderful interview with a Harvard medical doctor, Dr. John Abramson, who was just featured on Dr. Oz. And he, as a medical doctor, has turned into an activist and saying, we have to stop them. We have to stop Big Pharma from taking over society. Warn your cousins, warn your neighbors, warn your friends. And while he was on Dr. Oz, of course, another individual I know, Gwen Olson, who's the author of the book Confessions of an RX drug pusher. She's a former drug rep who has also turned into a whistleblower, and she's saying the same thing. She's warning everybody that we need to take serious precautions against these drugs.
And you have amazing connections. You have arranged for her to join us later on this hour.
Yes, yes. She should be joining us anytime, hopefully soon, but perhaps after the 10:30 slot.
I thought we would warm up to that interview with Gwen Olson and this incredible book, Confessions of a Prescription Drug Pusher, by just opening up the phone lines and asking people for their horror stories involving drugs. And I run into them all the time.
All the time. Me too. And it's just devastating when people call me up and they've turned into zombies from some of these drugs. They just can't function in day-to-day lives. And this is just no way to live.
I think particularly of kids who we are pumping full of prescription drugs when they are active, mm-hmm. because drugs are so wonderful. Drugs are kids and seniors in seniors' homes. I've seen so many documentaries that so many seniors who are problem patients, they pump them full of drugs. Our kids in kindergarten, they're problem kindergarten kids. We pump drugs into them, mm-hmm. to get them to calm down. 643-1290, we just want to open up the phone lines. Pam, of course, on some of the subjects that you tackle, you're a lonely voice. But you're not a lonely voice particularly on this subject.
No.
There are so many people now. And I just want to feature a brief rant by comedian Bill Maher on the American situation And Americans, of course, you know, in the last election campaign, we saw a lot of candidates who went on at great length about the problems with the healthcare system. But this was a rant by comedian Bill Maher specifically about our dependence on prescription drugs.
But none of the plans address the real problem. We won't stop being sick until we stop making ourselves sick. Because there is a point where even the most universal government health program can't help you. They can't outlaw unhealthy food or alcohol or cigarettes. Just pot, sadly. Because, you see, the government isn't your nanny. They're your dealer. And they subsidize illness in America. Mm. They have to. There's too much money in it. You see, there's no money in healthy people. And there's no money in dead people. The money is in the middle. People who are alive, sort of. But with one or more chronic conditions that puts them in need of Celebrex or Nasonex or Valtrex or Lunesta. 50 years ago, children didn't even get type 2 diabetes. Now, it's an emerging epidemic. As are a long list of ailments, which used to be rare and have now been mainstreamed. Things like asthma and autism and acid reflux and arthritis, allergies, adult acne, attention deficit disorder. And that's just the A's.
Bill Maher. I mean, he said it best in 90 seconds. I mean, asthma and autism and type 2 diabetes, all these epidemics which we are now seeing, which when I was a kid, we never heard of autism, very, very rarely. Asthma, a few old people we knew, type 2 diabetes, and now they're everywhere. Allergies, as you like to say, Pam Colleen, we're sicker, fatter, and more depressed than we've ever been. What's the role of prescription drugs in all of this?
Even though we're spending billions of dollars every year on healthcare, these conditions keep getting worse and they multiply. So essentially, what Bill Maher is saying that medicine is a business and they have no profit in our wellness. So the incentive is just not there, Andy, to help us get well. So it's very difficult to get the truth to the people. So I appreciate the time to be able to come on your show and talk about these things.
Well, let's go right to the phone line because they are lighting up already. Let's go to Jim. Jim, your thoughts on this morning?
How you doing, Andy?
We're good. How many pills in your medicine cabinet, Jim, if I can ask you a personal question?
I take, right now, I'm not sure of the count because a couple have been added, one or so. Right now, it's either 24 or 25 a day that I take.
Jim, I didn't hear you right. I thought you said you take 24 pills a day.
That's right. Plus insulin injections 5 times a day.
Okay, so insulin injections 5 times a day. What are some of the other pills that you take, Jim?
Well, some of them I've taken them for so long I can hardly remember what it was I got them for.
Well, exactly.
But they were all prescribed by my family doctor and by my specialist. I've had heart bypass surgery. I've had knee surgery. I've had this surgery and bowel surgery and go on and on and on.
You're the bionic man.
I'm 77 years old. And I'm healthy as a horse right now.
You are healthy as a horse right now.
Right now.
Are you near your medicine cabinet?
I'm not that far away from it.
Well, could you, I don't know if your phone, do you have a cordless phone?
Yeah.
Can you wander over to your medicine cabinet?
Uh-huh.
Okay, can you go, are you there now?
Yeah, well, pretty close, yeah.
Okay, you're getting there?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, have you got the door open of your medicine cabinet?
Just wait a second. Turn on the light, open her up, and here I am, yep.
Okay, so you're at your medicine cabinet.
Yep.
Okay, start taking out the pills and just read us one word from each label as you take the bottles out.
Coenzyme.
What's it for?
That is to help with cramps and so on.
Okay, let's go to the second bottle.
The second bottle, Novodesic.
What's that for?
This is acetaminophen. So, you know, I take that about twice a day.
Okay, that's two bottles. Let's go to the third bottle.
Celebrex.
Celebrex, what's that for?
That is for the insulin or for the diabetes.
Okay, the fourth
and
bottle.
That's twice a day.
Okay, the fourth bottle.
That's a good one. Metformin. And I take metformin four times a day.
Okay, the fifth bottle.
The fifth bottle is quinine.
What's that?
And I take that at night for leg cramps.
Okay, now we're five bottles into it. How many more bottles do we have?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, you stand by. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want you to read the labels on the other 10. I can't believe this, Pam. I mean,
yeah, this is,
people have...
Yeah, it's shocking. You know, I mean, what they've done is they've normalized illness by having these so-called remedies. And instead of people realizing that these conditions are just not normal, they do not allow people to think for themselves and do something proactively like diet and lifestyle changes.
Jim, how many of these drugs, when you think about it, might you have been better off not taking?
To be honest with you, Andy, I'm not a pill addict, but I believe that if my doctor says you have a condition, I can give you a pill that will ease it or eliminate it. I'm all for it. Mm-hmm.
Jim, you hold that thought. We have to take a short break. Back with Mr. Drugman, Mr. Pill Popper, in just a moment, right here in London today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
There's no such thing as a safe drug. By the time a drug's approved and it hits the general population, we don't know even 50% of the side effects that are involved with that drug.
Now, how's this for a very scary number? In the last 10 years, the use of antipsychotic drugs on young children and teenagers has increased more than 500%. There's growing concern these drugs are being given in even greater doses to kids in foster care, putting them in a virtual chemical straitjacket.
We are warming up for an interview in just moments with author Gwen Olson, author of the book Confessions of a Prescription Drug Pusher. Not the other kind of drug pusher, no, the legal kind. And if you have just joined us, we've been in conversation with Jim, who's pulling pills out of his cabinet. He's pulled out five bottles. Now, Jim, before we get you to bottle number six, I want you to listen to Pam Colleen, because this is stuff that she hasn't read in a book. She's been there. Pam, you've been there.
Oh.
You've been Miss Pill Popper.
Well, no, I didn't go that route. I knew there was something terribly wrong with these drugs. And when I had chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, multiple chemical sensitivities, I went to medical doctors and they proposed taking drugs, pharmaceutical drugs. And I knew there was something terribly wrong with that as a solution. So I didn't go that route.
You didn't take any of them.
But when I was tested, I was told, I felt like I was half dead, Andy. And through testing, they told me I was normal. So these tests are really just very, very misleading. And of course, the doctors don't really know anything about health. They don't know anything about nutrition. And unfortunately, they do become drug pushers, just like Gwen describes in the title of her book.
Now that you look back, are you glad you didn't go Jim's route and put 24 different bottles?
Oh, I'm relieved I didn't go that route.
Okay, Jim, you're at bottle number six. What's bottle number six say?
Mylanephetapine.
What's that for?
I'll be honest, I don't know.
Okay, let's just go through all the rest of the bottles, and you just read the label, and because we want to get through this list.
All right. Vitamin B12. I take baby aspirin, 81 milligram aspirin. That's for blood. Ferrous glutamate. I take Rimapril. I take Synthoid.
Are we getting close? Are we getting close to the end there, Jim?
Oh, we got a ways to go yet.
Okay, real quickly.
Ribasumol.
These are drugs you take every day?
Every day.
Okay, let's finish up the list.
Everstatin.
And you have a list, I take it, of 24 pills. You can't remember all that. Do you have a list so you know how many of each to take every day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I write them down and make sure I follow my routine.
Okay, Jim,
I also like to mention to you that I'm a retired psychiatric nurse.
Oh, you're a nurse.
When you were just talking about psychiatric drugs for children and so on, I disagree with that to a great extent.
Jim, hold
but
that.
As far as the drugs for psychiatric patients, which they are no longer really giving, the psychiatric patient is a non-equity. And
Jim, I have to jump in. Jim, can you hear me? I have to jump in for the sake of time because
sure,
we have just a moment left. Pam, what do you make of all of this?
Well, you know, I have some of my students are psychiatric nurses, and they have gone the route of nutrition, and they want to work with their patients using nutrition. They don't like what they see when these people are on medications.
Is Jim as healthy as a horse?
You know, I doubt it. I hate to say this, but no offense, Jim, but I really don't. He doesn't sound like he's as fighting fit as I would want to be at his age.
Tell me what you told me off the air. What you think what his health is?
Can I just break in for a second?
Real quick.
I just come back home from going Aquafit. I try to do Aquafit at least
four
or five
times
a day. Oh,
and that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But, when I talk to people and I listen to the brain and the brain power and how fast their speech is and so on and so forth, I try and determine whether or not they're running on all eight cylinders. And when I work with people, generally I'm working with people who are running on two or three cylinders and they want to feel vibrant and full and they want to feel that their brains are operating at full capacity. And that's just not what I'm hearing.
Jim, we have to be real quick because we're coming down
okay.
to the bottom. Let me just ask you.
If I can just speak to that lady for a moment. If she could take me off even half of these pills, I'd be very happy to do anything she suggests.
Do you think our bodies were designed to have 24 bottles of pills in the cabinet?
No.
Were we designed to be
our
pumped?
Our bodies were not designed to deal with the... with diabetes and with all kinds of other long type illnesses. And as I said a little earlier, I made it to 77.
Good for you.
Well, you, Jim, I so much appreciate the call. I really do. But we have to run. We thank you so much. Just a quick comment, Pam, before we break for a news update. And then we're going to be joined by Gwen Olson, the author of Confessions of a Prescription Drug Pusher, who I'm sure, and she's been on the line listening to Jim, will have a few things to say about him.
Yeah, listen, our ancestors were vibrantly healthy, both physically and mentally. They didn't have universities. They didn't have drug companies. They didn't have medical doctors. They didn't have nurses. You know, they knew how to be healthy just through wisdom. They knew the importance of diet. Yet, you know, they were able to do it on their own. And we have lost that wisdom today in 2011. We have created a codependent environment where we think that these doctors are gods and we think that they have these remedies to solve or duct tape problems that really are caused by poor diet and lifestyle.
I was in the newsroom this morning at 3 o'clock watching videos on the internet of Gwen Olson, and when she started describing her job to convince doctors to use all these drugs, I was nauseated. I think it's a shocking story, folks. We're going to be joined by Gwen Olson here in just a couple of moments. She is a feisty, fearless spokesperson for common sense when it comes to prescription drugs. Back with Gwen Olson in just a moment right here in London today on News Talk 1290 CJB.
1290.
Now, how's this for a very scary number? In the last 10 years, the use of antipsychotic drugs on young children and teenagers has increased more than 500%. There's growing concern these drugs are being given in even greater doses to kids in foster care, putting them in a virtual chemical straitjacket.
As I started observing what was happening, what some of the drugs were doing, the misinformation, the disinformation, that I was being encouraged to minimize side effects when I talked to doctors, I started to recognize that these patients were literally being tortured by the drugs that they were given.
Are you a pill popper? That's what we're asking you this morning. Are you one of this generation who has allowed, as we heard in the last half hour, asthma and autism and type 2 diabetes and all the other nasty diseases out there to become mainstream? We've been warming up for the last half hour for an interview with this woman, and I'd like Pam Colleen to just describe who Gwen Olson is.
Well, Gwen Olson is one of my heroes out there who's been blowing the whistle on these very, very shady practices from the pharmaceutical industry. Her book is called Confessions of a Prescription Drug Pusher, and of course in the title she's referring to the legal drugs as being a drug pusher. She has come forward and she speaks incredibly well on this subject. She's an insider, former insider, and she will share her insights into what she witnessed while she was working as a drug pusher.
Well, there's nobody more annoying in the smoking debate than a former smoker, so I would assume there's nobody more annoying in this debate about prescription drugs than Gwen Olson, who used to sell this stuff. Gwen, I appreciate you joining our program here in London, Ontario.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here this morning.
Boy, have you come in from the dark.
Yes, I think I pretty much did a 180, didn't I?
You spent 15 years as a sales rep in the pharmaceutical industry working for healthcare giants like Johnson & Johnson, Syntec Labs, Bristol-Myers Squibb, Abbott Laboratories. You have an incredible story of how you were over there in your eyes on the dark side. Now you come into the light. Would you, in the next 2 minutes, just share this incredible story?
In 2 minutes, you want me to share a 15-year career story?
And then we'll talk about the details.
Actually, the reason that I decided to leave the industry wasn't the reason that the impetus for writing my book. I left the industry because I myself was a pill popper. I had bought in completely into the philosophy that I could pop a pill and I could improve my health, or I could be whatever I wanted to be. And that cost me seriously in terms of my health and my my family life and my career. And what I found out is once I became a victim of my own wares from trying the drugs that I was also selling and having prescribed for me by various physicians, that I was in fact creating toxicity in my body. And that's what I really want to say in response to the gentleman. I have to respond to the gentleman who was on previously that was on the 25 different drugs and doesn't seem to think there's any harm in that, because what I was trained in the pharmaceutical industry is that all drugs are toxins. There are no exceptions to that, and that everything that a drug does is a side effect. It's just whether it's a positive side effect that you want or whether it's a negative side effect that you don't want. So putting 25 toxins into your body on a daily basis is not going to do anything positive for your health long term. All it's going to do is create other circumstances and other disease states that will require you to take additional pharmaceuticals, and that is the agenda.
There were a couple of key factors in you coming in from the dark, as it were, from selling prescription drugs to now warning people that they are, in fact, toxins. One of them involved your niece.
That's correct. And that's the impetus for writing my book. And that's really what I try to warn people about. Was my niece was in a car accident. She got addicted to hydrocodone, which is Vicodin. That's the brand name. It's a painkiller, and it's a central nervous system depressant. So she became addicted to it, and it caused a lot of side effects for her in terms of lethargy and sleepiness. And so she couldn't study. And she was trying to study because she was a pre-med student for her final exams, and she went to a local health food store and picked up some ephedra, which is a stimulant. And she took that in order to stay awake, but she took it concomitantly with her drugs. And she had an adverse reaction. She became manic psychotic, and she ended up in a local hospital, and they tagged her with a bipolar disorder diagnosis rather than a drug toxicity diagnosis. And when that happened, she was put on multiple psychiatric drugs, and she started her, you know, her downward spiral to actually where she ended up committing suicide by burning herself alive. So she was only 20 years old. She was a beautiful woman inside and out. She was intelligent. She had her whole life ahead of her, and she did not have any reason to commit suicide until she was put on psychiatric drugs. So I have done an extensive amount of research, and I have dedicated my life for the last 6 years to sounding the alarm and to letting people know that our children are being targeted. They are identified by the pharmaceutical industry as the largest expansion market available, bar none. And psychiatric drugs are not, they don't require any kind of medical diagnosis other than a third-party observation. There's no medical test like a blood test, a urine test, a CAT scan. There's nothing that can prove a psychiatric illness. So it's dependent on a third-party diagnosis, and that is a beautiful avenue for tons of money-making. And that's exactly what the pharmaceutical industry is doing. They are schmoozing the psychiatric doctors, and even now it's not even the psychiatrist anymore, because we've actually got general medicine is prescribing these drugs right and left to our children. And they are completely uneducated and unaware of what the long-term ramifications of these drugs are and what the agenda behind using them is.
Yeah, medicine is basically a business, isn't it, Gwen?
Oh, it's 100% a business. And if you don't think that, people are delusional themselves, and they probably need to be on some of these psych drugs.
Okay, now, you mentioned business as if it's a bad word. Chrysler and Ford and GM, they all make cars. People get killed in cars. Some would say, well, I resent the implication that because some people are killed in cars, we should ban the sale of cars. Make the comparison to drugs.
It's a completely different scenario. We're not talking about innocuous things here. We're talking about dangerous chemicals, and we're also talking about collusion. We're talking about the hiding of information to keep the public from being aware of the dangers. There is no such thing as informed consent in American medicine anymore. If you think that you are being given full information about what the risk-to-benefit ratio is to a drug when you're given it, you are completely erroneous about that. You do not have one-tenth of the information that you need to make an educated decision, and for the most part, neither do your doctors, because the pharmaceutical industry controls the information, and because it is information that is considered to be of economic value, they are not legally required to disclose it until they get into some sort of a discovery process with a lawsuit, or they try to get an indication or a label expansion, and they have to submit data to the FDA. Otherwise, they sit on it, and we don't know anything until the bodies start piling up.
Now, what you're talking about is marketing-based science. This is not evidence-based science that they are presenting to doctors, and doctors are not discerning and cannot tell the difference between marketing-based science and evidence-based science anymore. It's just so hidden as to who's funding this research and how these studies are designed, and they cherry pick the data in terms of the outcomes.
That's absolutely correct, Pam. And not only that, but many of the respected peer-reviewed journals are now publishing articles that are ghost-written by the pharmaceutical. This stuff is all over the media. If people will take the time and the energy to research this and do their own due diligence, they will find that there has been a tremendous amount of lawsuits that have been levied against the pharmaceutical industry, and they've settled with billions and billions of dollars. And believe me, they don't do that unless they have done something wrong.
But that's just a drop in the bucket. When they're fined these billions of dollars, whether it's Pfizer, GlaxoSmithKline, it doesn't matter. It's just a drop in the bucket in terms of their profits.
Well, yeah, you're talking the drug industry in the United States alone last year made over $300 billion. So, yes, you're talking about a cost of doing business, and that's the reason why that it continues to stay, and that's the reason why, unless we rein this industry in, we will not have any change in the near future.
Gwen, there are such sweeping statements that you're making. I'm sure I can just hear our listeners screaming that there are so many drugs that people take that they perceive that help them. What are you saying to people about their use of prescription drugs?
What I am saying is this. I may have a different philosophy from Pam because I don't know exactly what her philosophy is. I am not anti-drugs. However, because of my education and experience and extensive research that I've done on my own accord, I recognize that there is an initiative to get even healthy people on drugs. In fact, the CEO of Merck told his sales organization that a few years ago, that it was his vision that someday every American would be on drugs regardless of whether they were healthy or not. And that's the agenda. They are seeing that the market is pretty much, saturated, and so the marketing efforts, it's what they do. I'm not sure how to explain this other than they get an indication for a drug, and it may be a limited market. And then once that drug is approved, they go out there and they try to expand that market as widely as they possibly can. Cast the net to get more fish,
They create the disease, in other words.
Exactly. And so then they go out and they say, well, now you can use it for this or you can use it for that. And they create research that then gets published in peer-reviewed journals. And doctors read about it, and they also have key opinion leaders that will come around in the community then to talk to the doctors about, oh, well, now we're finding that this drug is great to be used for such and such. However, they don't have any legal indication for it. They don't have any clinical data to substantiate getting a label expansion through the FDA. All they have is this information that they have put in front of doctors, and then they get an off off-label indication started, where that doctors will start writing the drug off-label because it's legal for doctors to do that.
Gwen, let me ask you this. Your niece who took those antipsychotic drugs and then committed suicide, people may say, well, that's a very sad story. How many other stories are there like that across North America involving children taking Ritalin, teenagers taking these psychotic drugs, and especially seniors? Like, how many tragic stories are there of patients who literally suffered more from the drugs than they did from the disease which prompted the prescription?
Well, obviously, I can't give you a steadfast number, but there are in the thousands, and I get hundreds of these stories literally on a monthly basis. People who have lost their lives. And another one that I see most frequently that people send me the information about is the murder suicides that occur, where someone goes in and they kill an entire family and they kill themselves, and you find out they were on antidepressants. Almost without exception, every time I continue to look into these cases, they were on psychiatric drugs.
Well, that's the side effect of these drugs, isn't it, Gwen? The homicidal and suicidal tendencies.
That's what I'm trying to say. If you look into the long-term data, look into the good clinical data that has been done by outside sources that wasn't funded by the pharmaceutical industry, you'll find the long-term data shows that the drugs are not effective, particularly like with stimulants with children. Years 3 and 6 of the MTA prestigious studies on ADHD and on the use of stimulants in children showed that in years 3 and 6, children, that was a marker for decreased function and for more symptomatology. So the drugs, the longer they started to or continued using the drugs, they were less effective, and they caused more symptoms, and they got comorbid psychiatric diagnoses, which means they got additional drugs added to their regimen. So they end up on cocktails of drugs, which are never studied, never clinically tried, and you have no idea what they're going to do to an individual,
Gwen,
particularly a child.
Just before we go to the break, I want to tell you about a story which I'm reading from, and today it's interesting that we should be talking about all of this today here in London, Ontario. This is a story in this morning's Toronto Star, Thursday, May 26th. The headline reads, $12 million settlement in laxative lawsuit. Class action payment for renal injuries among the largest of its kind. Canadians whose kidneys have been damaged by a laxative used in colonoscopy preparation are eligible for a share of $12 million awarded by the Ontario Supreme Court. It was a London law firm that got it. How often is the drug industry hit by this kind of lawsuit, and how often should they be hit with this kind of lawsuit?
They have been hit quite frequently of late, and they should be hit more frequently. The reason being, like I said, there's a lot of off-label marketing activity going on, and there's a lot of information that is being hidden and not disclosed to the public. I know that because I was trained as a pharmaceutical rep to disinform and misinform people, and side effects that were brought up as, you know, an objection by a physician was something that I was thoroughly trained in how to sidestep that.
Gwen,
so
this
doctor wouldn't be concerned.
Gwen, I have to jump in. We have to take a break. I'm going to ask you a tough question when we come back. I cannot imagine that you are saying these things against such a powerful industry and that you have not been threatened in some way. I want to ask you about that in just a moment. When we come back here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
There's no such thing as a safe drug. By the time a drug's approved and it hits the general population, we don't know even 50% of the side effects that are involved with that drug.
We are in conversation with explosive author Gwen Olson about her book, Confessions of a Prescription Drug Pusher. Gwen, we've been listening to these absolutely amazing things that you've been saying about Big Pharma. I cannot imagine that there hasn't been some pushback from them.
Well, you know, I don't have a lot of friends in the industry anymore. But and a big reason for that is a number of my friends and colleagues have actually gotten out after I wrote my book and brought a lot of this information, you know, to their awareness. But I haven't been physically threatened, if that's what you're saying, by anyone per se from the pharmaceutical industry. Mostly what the pharmaceutical industry does is they try to discredit people and they try to destroy their careers. So I had no intention of ever trying to get a job again in sales because I know that wouldn't happen. And, of course, I couldn't go back. I don't have it in my conscience to sell drugs anymore.
Here's the key question, Gwen. You make for a great talk radio interview. My question is this. Are people listening to what you're saying, and are you having an impact in terms of changing people's habits and attitudes?
Absolutely. If I wasn't, I wouldn't continue to do it, because believe me, I made a heck of a lot more money working in pharmaceutical sales. But I am impacting lives because people are getting information. What I encourage people to do is to self-educate. I don't expect people to take anything that I say today on this radio program for face value. Do your own due diligence, and you will open up the can of worms, just like I did, that will disquiet you spiritually, and you will be prone to do something about it.
Gwen, how many bottles of medicine in your medicine cabinet?
I have zero bottles of medicine in my medicine cabinet, and that is not an exaggeration. There is one bottle in my husband's, and that is for his blood pressure when he has a crisis situation. But we try to manage all of our health issues with nutrition, with supplements, with exercise, and with alternative treatment therapies.
Now, Gwen, you're our third guest who has been featured on Dr. Oz, and maybe you can tell the audience how that happened, how it happened that he called you and invited you on the show.
Well, I believe that one of his producers got onto my website, and they were just looking for someone who was speaking out about the dangers of drugs that was from within the pharmaceutical industry. And there are very few of us out there, actually. So they just wanted me to come in, and Dr. Abramson, who is the gentleman who wrote Overdosed America, was debating with another gentleman, Dr. Latima, who was from the pharmaceutical industry, a former CEO from Pfizer, and they wanted my perspective. But the debate with the doctors went so lengthily that I actually didn't get to say but a couple of things.
Gwen, we have 2 minutes left, and I want to make good use of those 2 minutes. I want to ask you two questions. First, what are you saying to people like Jim who have 24 bottles of medicine in their cabinet, they're taking 24 different pills a day, or even if they're taking two or three or four or five, what are you saying to them? Stop using.
I am telling them to do some research to find out whether there are alternative measures, if they could handle their problems with nutrition and diet and exercise and things of that nature. It would behoove them to do that, because long term they will create more health problems by taking multiple drugs.
And that's a really important point, because here in Ontario, some research has been done, and it says that by 2030, healthcare is going to take up 80% of our operating costs. I mean, this is an unsustainable system as long as people turn to drugs as answers.
That's correct.
And the other question, your website. I was fascinated by watching some of your videos this morning. Tell us how people can get more information.
Yes, please visit my website. It's GwenOlsen.com, GwenOlsen.com. There are a lot of good links and information located there. And also, my book is Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher.
One final question. If we do not change our ways, where do you see North America going in the coming years?
I see us all going bankrupt, and I see us all dying 20 to 30 years early.
I agree. As long as we're distracted by drugs and we don't look to diet and lifestyle as the answer, I'm afraid for the human species, frankly.
Gwen said
I am as well. And so that's the reason we're dedicating our lives to this. And I hope that people will listen and pay attention and do their own research.
Well, kudos to you, Gwen.
Thank you as well. I don't want to sound like the bugler of the apocalypse, but you sure sounded like it. Can you say again, if we do not change our ways when it comes to using prescription drugs, what do you see in the next 5-10 years?
I foresee us all going bankrupt. I foresee the system going bankrupt, and I foresee us losing 20 to 30 years off of our lives.
Well, on that note, Gwen, you have a good day, and we thank you so much for joining us. We will have to talk to you again. You're a brave woman, and I wish you all the best, because we so much need to hear what you've been saying. Thanks for joining us.
Would love to come back. Thank you.
Thanks, Gwen.
Parting comment, yeah. Pam.
Well, she's a brave lady, and we need more whistleblowers out there basically warning us of all of these problems that we're seeing because of pharmaceutical drugs.
Wow. Well, it's been quite an hour. I thank you for joining us this morning. Pam, Colleen, thank you so much. We're coming up to 11 o'clock. Hands on the wheel, eyes on the road. Please hang up and drive. So you arrive alive and you can go home and take all those drugs and stay healthy. 11 o'clock news just around the corner. Please stay healthy and please join us again tomorrow morning at 9 right here on News Talk 1290 CJBK.